We live in a crazy spiritual, should I say, non-spiritual, crazy religious world where many who claim to be Christian, many who claim to follow Christ, seek after weird and wonderful teachings. There is still this falsehood that goes on in Pentecostal sources that claim that unless someone has received what they call, and I say that deliberately, what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, such people are not saved. Well, in one sense they are right, but not in what they say. They claim that people who are born again need to receive a second blessing. A second blessing. If they don't receive a second blessing, they're somehow missing out. Well, in the truest sense of the word, in the truest sense of a second blessing, all God's people should receive a second blessing, but not just a second blessing, a continual blessing. A continual blessing. All God's people should seek after the Lord continually. We should never be content with that first encounter with the Lord Jesus, which was unto salvation. We cannot replicate that. That's a once only. But the child of God who does not seek the Lord in all things continually is a stagnated child of God. We'll never grow in grace. We'll never grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not know those blessings outflowing from the Lord's presence. Yes, we are to seek more about Jesus. Surely anyone who has encountered this glorious Redeemer wants more. The only time we shall not want more is when we are in the glory, when we shall see him as he is. But until then, there should be an insatiable appetite. As the deer, as the hart pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, Lord. That should be our state. Because as we quoted the Apostle Paul last week, he longed to know more. And this man experienced much revelation of the Lord Jesus. And yet the more he experienced, he longed to know more of the excellency that is Christ. Turn with me, please, to Judges 13 again. We began looking at this encounter that Manoah and his wife, particularly his wife, had with the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. As he appears in the Old Testament on various occasions. And many times he comes by the name the angel, capital A, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, the messenger of God's grace. Not a created angel, but he comes in the appearance of a man, as indeed all angels do, by the way. They all appear as a man. There is no female-looking angel. But he comes in the appearance of a man. Of course, he's not contracted to a span, as the hymn goes. He's not incomprehensibly made man yet. But he comes in the form of man. He comes in the form of man and appears to bestow his grace upon the objects of God's grace. And we saw last time, as we look briefly, we saw last time that the particular context of this appearance to Manoah's wife was to tell her who was barren and it was impossible for her to bear a child, how she would conceive in her womb. And there would be born of her one who would begin to save the children of Israel. You see, the children of Israel, the disobedient people of God, as they were so many times, they were under the dominion of the Philistines at this time. And God did this. God put them under the dominion of the Philistines. And Manoah's wife is told, "You shall bear a son, and you shall conceive, and he shall begin to deliver Israel." And we saw most importantly last week that this points us to a greater son, who would be born of the Virgin, who is the Son of God. And he did not come to begin to deliver, of which this word means save. He came to save his people from their sins. And he has indeed done so. But as we pick up this account again tonight, we see that as Manoah, upon being told this news by his wife, he makes supplication to God, we're told. He prays to God. He wasn't there present. This news was not told to him, yet somehow, God put it in his heart to believe. He did not know fully, as his wife did not know fully, who this was actually appearing to her. Although she was given some kind of perception to know that this was no ordinary visitor. She said, "A servant of the Lord," but she said, "who had the countenance of an angel." Very terrible, reverent, awesome. And so we see that Manoah comes and he prays to God. "Behold, you shall conceive," was the news. And Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Verse 8. And we see verse 9, "And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again, as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful.'" You remember, his wife was told that this man-child to be born should be a Nazarite, set apart for the service of God. No unclean food she should even eat in her pregnancy, neither strong drink. And so should be the life of this man, and his hair should not be shorn. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let me detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. More about Jesus. Do you want to know more about Jesus? I certainly do. The way you hear some people talk, some learned religious people talk, you think they know everything there is to know. I wish I did. I want to know more about Jesus. Do you want to know more about Jesus? Well, let's journey to learn more about Jesus, if God allows us tonight. Firstly, I want you to see Manoah's wife has another encounter. She has another encounter. Not many people who had these encounters of the Lord, the angel of the Lord appearing, not many people had a second encounter. She has another encounter with the angel of the Lord. And note this. The text tells us that she is alone. She's alone. We read, the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. She was sitting alone in the field. What can we learn from this? Well, much indeed. For it is good practice. Good practice. In fact, essential practice. Not legalistic practice, but nonetheless essential. It is good practice for God's people to take time aside. To take time aside, and as he commands us, to be still and know that he is God. To be still. We live in a fidgeting society. It's always been so, but it seems it's growing worse. Because even when people are supposedly sitting still, they're fiddling around with a contraption on their lap. Looking at pictures of babies dancing or cats or all manner of things which aren't important. Be still. Take time aside to be still before God. Before God. It is implied here that she was meditating, pondering. She had much to ponder over. She had much to think hard on. She had just met with this mysterious visitor from heaven. Not only that, she had been given an amazing promise of a son whom she shall conceive. And not only that, he shall be the one who shall begin to deliver Israel from the bondage of the Philistines. This was a lot to take in. No doubt she was meditating, pondering over such things. For that's what meditating means. Not this foolish, sitting cross-legged, repeating gobbledygook. That's not meditating. Meditating is to be still before God and to think upon his word, to consider him, to consider his promises, to consider his commands, to think upon them. God's people are to be found meditating over, thinking over, chewing over the good food of God's word. The word of God is compared in many respects to good food, to meat, to bread. And the simpler things of the gospel are referred to as the milk of the word. We're to be found chewing over this word of God. The psalmist says of the one who is not like the world is blessed. They're blessed of God. They're the same blessed ones that the Lord Jesus speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount. And Psalm 1 says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who do you seek your counsel from? I wonder, Manoah's wife, just think upon what her experience of the Lord here and the news that's been told her. If she went and told the news to her friends, neighbours and family, I wonder what the response would have been. I wonder what the counsel would have been from them. Even at best, I don't think the counsel would have been true. I don't think the counsel would have been faithful. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are all who are outside of Christ. Nor stands in the way of sinners, who goes the way they go, who does the things they do, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. God's people who have come to know the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the crucified and risen Saviour, are these blessed ones. And see how you keep yourself from false counsel and the influence of unbelievers. For don't be so foolish to think that you can't come under the influence of unbelievers. But verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's not just talking about the law, the Sinai law given through Moses. This is talking about the whole book. It's talking about the whole complete word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Where is the place of prayer then? Where is the place of prayer? People have a misconception of where it is that people are to pray. There's somehow a prayer room. In certain religions, they have a prayer room, don't they? Some of these churches with a small C, because I don't know if all of them are, but there was a big conversion of many people in Korea, and they set up these prayer mountains. Someone was talking only last week about people seeing the necessity to go up this mountain to this building made with hands, that somehow God was up there. That's not the place of prayer. Where is the place of prayer to consider the word of God? It's not a particular place. It's a particular state of heart and mind. It's a particular individual. who comes before God. That's the place of prayer. And the place of prayer is wherever you can be alone with God. And that may be the crudest of places that you're unable to be at. But God's there with his people. Undisturbed. I've told you the story perhaps in the past. I'll tell it in the future probably. Because it bears repetition. And I believe Pastor John reminded me about it the other day. In conversation, just in general conversation. But when I came to know the Lord Jesus, I was working in a solicitor's as a messenger, internal messenger, and worked with a whole load of other young lads. And you can imagine the response that I had from such people when they found out that I was converted. Oh, you can imagine it. I could tell you stories that could make your teeth curl. But anyway, there was a place that I discovered. We worked down in the basement, and there was a place down in the basement. It's almost like a grotto, almost like a hovel. Behind this door, there was this labyrinth of little nooks and crannies, and that was where the bin bags were kept. And I used to go just beyond there, take a chair with me at lunchtime and sit and read my Bible and pray. And some of you may know a guy called John Pope. That's the first time he found out that I was a believer, because he came in there by chance, or he followed me in there and found me reading my Bible. But your place of prayer is wherever you can be alone. So wherever you can be alone. And this woman, she was seated. She sat in the field. She sat in the field. And the Lord appeared to her again. And as you continue on in the faith, you are instructed to seek more of Jesus, in whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as Colossians 2:3 tells us. We think we've come to know the wonders of Christ. We don't know just a single percent of it. We know nothing. There is so much more to know of this glorious Redeemer. The treasures of Christ are yours to mine now. If you know Christ, they are yours to mine as you meditate upon his person and his word. And the Lord came to her while she was there in that state. And the Lord will come to you as you be still and as you seek him in his word. The greatest of prayers to pray as you read the word is, Lord, show me the Lord. Show me your son in the word. And even in what would seem the most obscure scriptures, the Lord will reveal his son to you. He'll bring to your remembrance those scriptures that indeed interpret those scriptures. Secondly, we see this. She showed her husband. She showed her husband. We're told she ran. She ran. So urgent. So urgent was it to show her husband. Meaning she declared forth to him. She declared forth to him what she experienced. We looked at this last week, did we not? About her first experience of the Lord. How we should be so stirred up to tell. To tell. And we should be so stirred up to tell fellow believers. When we have a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus in his word. You see, the answer to his prayer, she had experienced. His prayer had been answered. And oh, how we should encourage one another as the Lord causes us to know such blessings as his paying heed to our prayers. Paying heed to our prayers. How often do we tell others, when we've asked them to pray for such and such, to actually tell them in so many words, the Lord heard your prayers? To encourage them. When indeed we pray according to the will of God, for his glory, it is as the angel Gabriel, told Daniel in Daniel 9, verse 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth. You see, the Lord knows before any word is on our lips altogether. Yes, the child of God, you child of God, your Saviour God and Father has knowledge of all that you need before you even think or ask. It is as the Lord says in Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Who can comprehend such wonders as that? The Lord delights to hear the prayers of his people. And he delights to answer. Be not so slow to acknowledge the gracious answer of prayer. Sharing this with fellow believers. To encourage and to strengthen one another. She ran to tell him. As Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We're to build one another up, edify one another up with the things of God. Thirdly, Manoah prays to God a prayer exercising faith. Exercising faith. Manoah said, verse 12, now let your words come to pass. A simple prayer. A simple prayer. Now let your words come to pass. In effect, you could shorten Manoah's prayer to Amen. You wouldn't think that's a prayer. But that's exactly what Manoah is saying. He's saying, Amen, let it be so. So needless to say, we must be careful what we Amen. Manoah prays to God a prayer exercising faith in the promise, you see. Even though he did not, as yet, comprehend who had appeared to his wife. There's more glories to see next time. Stick with me. But quite often, we only have a partial understanding of God's word and its truth. Yet a true believer, as we saw in part last time, will seek to know more. It's more than being inquisitive, it's a desire, it's a hunger, it's a thirst after righteousness. God's people want more. So it sounds almost selfish. I want more. It's not like Oliver Twist. You see, God's people are receptive. Receptive of God's word. Those who have the Spirit of Christ receive the things of the Spirit. When God's word comes to his people, they not only receive it, but they seek after it more. Here is faith from Manoah. Here is faith. Here is faith, just as with Jairus. So I believe I got his name wrong, but the Lord knows who it is. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Here is faith. He says these words that he believes the promise. Let it be so. Let it be so. We read here, and Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass." And this is how we ought to pray always. We ask, and James says in James 4, we ask amiss. If we ask amiss, that's why our prayers aren't answered. Are you praying according to God's revealed will? Are you praying according to what his word tells us? That's a guarantee, 100%, that it will be answered. This is how you ought to pray, according to the revealed word of God. Even praying for our specific circumstances, our specific situations, our specific needs, we pray according to the revealed word of God, and we have comfort that he has heard and indeed will answer. See how Manoah seeks to know more of the Lord's instruction. How shall we order, I read from the AV, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? How shall we direct our child's ways, they're saying. How shall we direct our child's ways? Does Manoah seek the good parent handbook? Does he seek the advice of the state? Does he consult even the elders of the people? No, he seeks God's guidance. And it is surely the first prayer. I know it was mine and Alison's. It surely is the first prayer of a believing parent to pray for God's guidance in bringing that child up. The very first thing. Oh, I tell a lie. I pray for the salvation of that child. But in that, you're praying that the Lord will guide you, lead you how to bring them up, knowing that you have not got a clue. You need the Lord's wisdom. Because indeed, like Samson, as he should be named, all children are a heritage. All children are a gift from God anyway. How shall I deal with this? How shall I bring up this child, this gift you've given unto me? You've entrusted unto me. This is the primary concern of a parent who trusts Christ. The primary concern. Not education. Not wealth. Not even health. The primary concern of a parent who trusts Christ, that parent who trusts Christ, the primary concern is the spiritual well-being of them above all things. Above all things. Fourthly, the Word of God teaches us here The Lord Jesus will not be accepted as a mere messenger, a prophet, a way to God. He will not. God will not share his glory with another. See, Manoah seeks to detain the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, verse 16, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Our offering must be offered up to who Christ is. He must be glorified as to who he is. No one can come to God believing in Jesus, just believing in Jesus. They must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They must believe in who he is. And so we must proclaim who he is. He's not prophet. He's prophet, yes. He's not just priest. He is priest, yes. He's not just king. He is king. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the only way. He is the one way. He is salvation itself. He is God. And besides him, there is none other. We must proclaim that Jesus Christ is Son of God. We must not flinch from it. John says at the end of his gospel that by believing that he is the Christ, the Son of God, you may have eternal life. If we do not proclaim who he is, people will not believe on the Son of God and be saved. The Word of God teaches us here that he must not be treated as just some mere messenger. He alone is the way. See how he, the angel of the Lord, responds to Manoah, seeking to give him normal hospitality performed for visitors. This was normal, this hospitality that Manoah was offering. This was what was offered to a mere man, or even a mere special man. We see particularly this point. If you will offer a burnt offering, you must offer it unto the Lord. He's saying who he is. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. You see, so many people there are who go through the motions of Christian religion, so-called, who do not offer up worship to the true God. To the true God by the true Christ. The charge that God levels at many hypocrites still dead in their sins. As he said to that woman at the well, you worship whom you know not. The Lord Jesus here in the text and now demands true worship, honest adoration and praise from those who know whom he is. Yes, he says, in spirit and in truth. And as the Lord said here to Manoah, he declares in his gospel, there is only one way to come to God. As he reveals himself, prefiguring his coming perfectly in the flesh. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Lastly, what a privilege. Do you know Christ Jesus? What a privilege. What a privilege is yours indeed if you belong to the Lord. You now come unto God in and through him. Him who is the Lord Jesus. Through him who was crucified and rose again. You come through the risen Lord Jesus. We are all a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. It strikes me here from what was told Manoah. Remember which tribe Manoah was of. Manoah was of the tribe of the Danites. The tribe of Dan. He was not of the priestly order. And the angel of the Lord says to him, but if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. See grace here? Can you see grace here? How we come by a new and living way, opened up by his own body. In the Levitical law, nobody was allowed to offer up sacrifices if they were not of the Levitical priesthood. But grace and truth comes by Christ Jesus now. And the way is opened up. The way is opened up through the veil which has been torn when he was crucified for his people. Manoah was not of that Levitical priesthood, and yet the angel of the Lord forbids him not from offering up spiritual worship, spiritual praises. See here the wonderful gospel truth of the priesthood of all believers. And when such things were rediscovered at the Reformation, it cost people a lot to stand up for such things. That God's people do not come through a man set up as a priest here on earth, coming through a conduit. They come directly to Christ, through Christ unto God. All God's people do. They don't come through a pastor. They come through Christ, directly before the throne of grace. As 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also as lively, living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And here's the key, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And only by Jesus Christ. Who indeed presents his own sacrifice before the Father, a sweet smelling savour. And so then, to close, as those who are the Lord's special people, chosen and called and holy unto God in his Son, the Lord Jesus, continue to come to him. Continue to come to him. Seeking more of Christ. Is your appetite insatiable for Christ? As Manoah sought to give the good things he had to serve Jesus, the angel of the Lord, seek to give your Saviour the best. The best. The best of your time. The best of your resources. The best of your being. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen.